The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Back to the final hour of the program, and I can't tell you how excited I am about this next guest. I've seen him at SEC Media Days for years, and I think you're going to really like him as well. His name is Stephen Smith, not Stephen A. Smith, but Stephen M. Smith. And Stephen, thank you for joining us. Did you change your middle initial after Stephen A. became famous? Good afternoon.
I have not changed since I've been famous, Paul. Still the same old me.
And you're about to become famous based on what I understand. Well, great to have you on from Touchdown Alabama magazine. First of all, it's refreshing. We missed you at Media Days this year. You always get one of the first questions into Nick Saban. Tell us what it's been like covering Alabama football during this unbelievably weird year.
It's been different. It's been difficult, Paul, especially with the COVID situation. Not being able to be out there at practice around Coach Saban and the rest of the team, but you find a way to get the job done in media, and of course the athletic department here in Tuscaloosa has done a great job in providing us with the information we need. So it's been different, it's been unconventional, but you find a way to get it done.
Well, regardless, apparently it hasn't stopped you from busting your sources, because I saw a rant by you the other day, maybe it's been a week or two or three, about the Alabama quarterback situation, and it didn't sound like you were lacking for opinion or knowledge. Let's start right there. What's going on?
Well, right now, Mac Jones, to me, is the starting quarterback for the Crimson Tide. I mean, he's been here going on his fourth year. He's been very consistent throughout fall camp, showing Coach Saban that he has what it takes to take this team and win a national championship. He saw bullets flying last year in the conference when Tua Tagovailoa went down with the hip injury. So I have no doubt that Mac Jones can take this team and win a national championship with it, but he's got some great guys behind him. Bryce Young is immensely talented as a five-star, can throw it, very dynamic runner. He's got a lot of substance to him. And then the guy nobody really talks much about, Paul Tyson. You look at size, you look at footwork, you look at arm talent. The young man's got all the tools. So Alabama's got a complete quarterback room here. But to me, Mac Jones definitely the starter against Missouri.
Let me ask you about Paul Tyson, Stephen M., because most know, maybe not everyone, he is the great-grandson of Paul Bryant, Coach Bryant, and you know, it was a big deal when he announced he was going. He had a brilliant high school career, but you know, he walked into a pretty busy room. Of course, it's gotten less crowded now that Tagovailoa has gone to Maryland, but tell us more about him.
The one thing that I truly love about his game, Paul, is, you know, Coach Saban the last 2 years has kind of been preaching to he's blue and purple in the face about the Alabama factor and the standard and the importance to play toward that standard. But when you look at a guy like Paul, you don't have to preach that to him because he is the standard. He recognizes it. He knows it. He's grown up in it. He's been exposed to it throughout his entire life. And this is somebody that's always been kind of overlooked at times because he may not be the biggest name out there, or he's just Paul Bear Bryant's great-grandson. But this young man can flat out play, accurate with the football, precise with the football, can make all the throws on the field. Got a chance to speak to his quarterback coach, Nevelle Durant, who does his work out there in Seattle, Washington, on the Pacific Northwest, and really likes what Paul has done. He's trying to get Tyson to be more explosive, but a guy that can definitely make every throw on the field.
And it's not often that we talk about the number three quarterback, even if his great-grandfather was Paul Bryant. But you know, as everyone knows, in this year of all years, nobody has any idea what's going to happen, and depth is critical. So let's move up and talk about the number two quarterback, Bryce Young. He was the top quarterback in the country a couple of years ago, coming out of California. Everyone expected him to walk in there and get the job on day one. What does he look like so far, as best you know?
He's progressed well. I mean, this is somebody that did not have spring, Paul, because of COVID. Coach Saban had to kind of fight for the preseason practice program. You know, fall camp comes in. It's not your traditional fall camp. He does not participate in the first scrimmage, but for him to put all that behind him, and in the final scrimmage, he went out there and did some special things, made some big throws, made some big plays in key situations. So, you know, Coach Saban sees that there's more than just hype to this young man. It's bigger than just, oh, he's a five-star or he's the U.S. All-America Bowl MVP. This young man can really play football. He's got an electric arm. He's got the athleticism. The one thing I want to see from Bryce Young is just the patience, not rushing anything. Take your time. Go through your progressions. Jail with this offense. Just show that patience.
Stephen M. Smith with us from Touchdown Alabama Magazine. Well, let's talk a little bit more before we move on about Mac Jones. You mentioned him. People wanted to look past him because he was the backup for maybe the greatest quarterback in Alabama history. But, you know, he had a pretty big game, a couple of pretty big games coming down the stretch. What's his upside right now under Steve Sarkisian?
It's big because this would be the first full offseason that Mac would get to have with Coach Sark and run some things by him, get a feel for what he does as the full West Coast-style offensive coordinator. And when you look at Mac, I know people go back to the Auburn game. He had the two interceptions, both returned for touchdowns. But one thing that Coach Saban brings to the table is, what's your resolve? Do you sit there? Do you cry about it? Do you pout? Do you sulk? Do you let that ruin your life, or do you get back up, keep slinging a hot pigskin, and put this team in position to win football games? And that's exactly what Jones did. So 335 yards, four touchdowns, and put Alabama in position to possibly send the game into overtime, if not for a missed field goal there. So this guy, he's got moxie. He's been a hard worker since he's been here. The team has been 100% behind what he can do. And he's got full confidence in himself. Coach Saban's got full confidence in him. He's always been kind of overlooked at times. You brought up he came in with Tua. But, of course, you know, he's here now, and Bryce Young is here now. So Mac has always been kind of overlooked, but that's never bothered him. And I think he's ready to put together a championship season.
Stephen, let's talk about the one person that I've heard more about in fall camp or summer camp than anyone, and that's the one you probably expected to hear about, and that's Najee Harris. So we knew he was good. Again, the top running back coming out of California a couple of years ago, but and he's had big years. But what are you hearing, and how big of a year could he have?
He could have a potential Heisman Trophy winning season, Paul, because this is a guy that's been working his tail off the entire summer, whether it's been with, you know, former Auburn standout Brad Lester or Derek Blaylock, who had some time in the NFL. He's been putting in work with both of these guys, whether it's strength drills, core drills, cardio, running, flipping tires, whatever they have asked him to do. You know, Najee has done that. He's improved his speed a whole lot, working with Dr. Matt Ray here at the University of Alabama. He's got his eyes locked in on a Heisman year. I believe he saw last season when he finally locked in fully as a complete back against MSU, and down the stretch of 2019, he kind of saw, okay, you know, once I knock in, I know that I can be one of the best backs in the country. And he's got some stiff competition. You've got Kylan Hill. You've got Travis Etienne at Clemson. You've got Chuba Hubbard at Oklahoma State. But Najee Harris is locked in to a Heisman-type season.
Let's flip it over to the defense before we wrap it up here, Stephen M. And the Alabama defense, you know, has been good lately, but probably not to the degree of what some of us have been used to in the past. What's the ceiling look like for this squad in the upcoming season?
Much improved group. And the first thing, Paul, Coach Saban kept the continuity on the coaching staff. Everybody back except for Brian Baker, who moved on to the Indianapolis Colts. You bring Freddie Roach in as the defensive line coach. Of course, he played at Alabama from 2001 to 2005 as a decorative linebacker. So the coaching staff is in full swing here. Defensive line's in play. A lot of guys returning to this line. LeBron Ray is back. DJ Dem is back as a sophomore. I like what Christian Barmore can bring, you know, as a redshirt sophomore. But Dylan Moses, the captain of this group, everybody's so excited to have him back. You know, last year was supposed to have been his year, got hurt in preseason camp. So there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of depth on defense. There's a lot of talent on defense. You know, my thing is can you get the best 4 to 6 guys on the field in the secondary? Coach Saban, a former defensive back himself, finding those guys that he trusts there on the back end. He trusts his Patrick Surtain. He likes what Daniel Wright and Jordan Battle can do. But just finding a couple of more guys that he really trusts on that back end.
Stephen M. Smith, before you go, you have laid out a pretty nice picture. Alabama's a preseason top three team. A lot of people think they'll contend or maybe win the national championship. I'm assuming, you're not supposed to assume too much in journalism, but I'm assuming you agree with that assessment.
True. Very true.
So, I mean, what are the pitfalls for this team? And I mean, other than COVID, which we all have to deal with, everyone has to deal with, as you look at that schedule, where would the biggest concerns lie?
Well, the biggest two off the top would be, of course, the Week 4 matchup against Georgia. There's a lot of similarity there. You're facing Kirby Smart. You're facing Scott Cochran, a very talented Georgia defense. Bama's got him at Bryant Denny, but still, a lot of familiarity there on that Georgia side. And, of course, you know, going down to Baton Rouge, I know LSU lost a lot in the draft and to, you know, guys opting out and a couple of coaches gone, but it's still nerve-wracking at times to go down to Baton Rouge and face those Tigers. So those two games will be very interesting.
Stephen M., I'm so delighted you made it. You were able to come on the program tonight. You've done a fantastic job, and I hope you will come back. Thank you very much for your time.
No problem, Paul. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Hey, thank you. We appreciate it. We'll get some reaction to that.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we're back. Final hour of the program of the week. Augie is in New Orleans. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Close of another week. Lots of breaking information. So it's going to be hard for you to top next week.
We will, though. Count on it.
Got to ask you, Paul, did you ever get those bagels yet? Is that guy in, what's he in? Staten Island.
No, I went to Publix and got a couple of frozen ones instead.
Oh man, he's gonna be very disappointed because you know he's used to the real thing. But have we gotten any closer to a chief infection officer yet?
We haven't, but I would recommend coming up with a better title. I mean,
it's you know what a chief infection officer sounds like? Some guy, it's like an old Navy title, like
yeah.
When a ship would pull into one of these ports. You need the chief infection officer to check the guys out after liberty.
I mean, there has to be a much cleaner approach. I mean, you don't want somebody calling you up, and somewhere in the description of who they are, use the word infection.
Hey, I'm the CIO.
Yeah.
Chief information officer? No, I'm the chief infection officer. Does that mean you prevent it or give it?
Exactly. You know, I mean, can't you say the epidemiologist consultant or something?
I'm sure you could probably take a poll and come up with a better name from some of the callers. But today, Paul, you had a guy calling from Indiana. I think his name was Jason. He was talking about Notre Dame's recruiting and the fact that they have basically universal recruiting and that because of that, they could run the gamut in the SEC or ACC. I think that was his point.
Yeah, well, I think. Think is the operative word there, Augie.
Well, Paul, that made absolutely no sense. Of course, we, I think most SEC schools, do not take, do not find pride in the fact that we have to go all over the country to seek out talent. It's in our backyard. So, yeah, he's right. We don't need to scour the country because it's homegrown in our own pumpkin patch. And this guy, his point was just completely, it made no sense to me. But I don't think if Notre Dame was in the SEC, they'd finish out any year better than middle of the pack. What do you think?
I completely disagree. I think Notre Dame, I mean, here I am defending Notre Dame, but I think Notre Dame's a really, it has become a really solid program under Brian Kelly. The last two or three years, they've been really good. And I think, I think this dismissiveness of all programs if they're not in the SEC is foolish. And I've been there before. I was the chief propagandist for a long time, but I've tried to take a longer view of college football, and Notre Dame, Ohio State, schools like that can handle them. I mean, the SEC top is, I mean, it's very top heavy, but I certainly think Notre Dame could be a top four or five program in the SEC without much difficulty.
Okay, well, I don't know about that.
Well, again, we're not going to solve it here, and I know that, but you know, laughing at Notre Dame, I think, is unbecoming of someone of your intellect.
Well, and again, I'm Catholic, so you know there is some sort of semblance, but you know, back in the 70s when Notre Dame and Alabama were playing for the national title, I was pulling for Bama. I mean, no doubt about it. And I do give Jeff his due. Ohio State is one of the best teams in the country.
No doubt.
And for the Tiger fans who are calling in thinking that we're going to repeat, I think if we win 8-9 games, it's not a bad year for us. I think we need to spot this year, live off the glory of last year, and look forward to the next year. But anyway, that's just my take. And, of course, Paul, Sunday night, are you going to be watching 60 Minutes?
You better believe it. Ed Ogeron will be on, and I cannot wait.
Well, there are going to be subtitles provided, and Bobby Hebert is going to act as translator for.
Augie, I have never lived in that part of the state, but spending 13 months in the state of Louisiana and much of the time down there, I feel like I have a shot at translation. So appreciate it very much. Let's continue with Jim. Not that one, but this one in Alabama. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Paul. I hope your friend's okay down in the Gulf.
Thank you. Yeah, no, there's still a lot of people that are unaccounted for, but thanks for the call.
Okay, that's scary. Quick update on my son. We're on our way up to UNA right now, and they're marching tonight. So after 7 days quarantine, even though they're not playing football, they're marching at a high school game tonight, which is what we're on our way up to see. I had a question, though. Has the NCAA come out yet and said what they would do with these conferences that have opted back in or trying to opt back in with the players that have opted out, probably minus the ones that got an agent?
Yeah, I mean, the issues aren't the opt-out. The issues are the ones that have gotten agents. And I believe, here's my thought on this, is if the NCAA denies anybody coming back, it's criminal for this reason. I mean, we're asking college football players to deal with things that really are the embodiment of professionalism right now. They're on campus. Most students aren't. And if the NCAA is going to deny them because their league shut down and they signed with an agent, it's outrageous. To me, the old rules just aren't applicable anymore. And, you know, yeah, I would ask the player to give the money back and trust that he is honest about it. But if he wants to come back to school, let him come back.
I don't think Lenore or Graham have signed with an agent yet, which, you know, going in, and I know it sounds blasphemous to say this, but if we take 24/7 sports at their word, Oregon had, according to them, the top defense in the country coming back, had they kept that together. So it'll be a shame if those guys can't come back. But you know my faith or lack of faith in the Pac-12.
I just heard that the meeting went well out there today, but tell me this, Jim. if you're trying to come back, come back. The Big Ten took some time. They'll have their schedule out next week, but they're back. And if the Pac-12 wastes much time here, the odds of them getting back for to be considered for the playoffs, I think, are pretty slim. And I'm not sure.
I mean,
you can't just play six, seven games without a plan. And I really am somewhat shocked that they couldn't make their decision already. John is in North Carolina. You're on the air. Go right ahead, John.
Paul, I remember when you were a Beacon writer at UT, and of course you're a grad, and I'm a grad too, but I just wanted to say that I think Jeremy is about to find his best chance as an SEC coach next year. But this year, I really think he's going to put up a pretty good Tennessee team, and you know, it's not like they're laying in the reeds. They got the same problems everybody else does. But this guy, his 2021 class already has, like, what, 12 four-stars in it? He's bringing in talent. He's yet to have the real chance to show, I think, what kind of head coach he is, because he's still putting together his own guys. But I think possibly this year he's got a good chance. And I'm hearkening back to the past when I say that he's got a good chance of giving Florida a hard time, because he's got the whole season. But, of course, it depends on how COVID goes toward the end of the season. But a better chance with Georgia. But I really think we're going to see Fulmer's decision to hire him.
Well, John, I have to break here because we're but I think Fulmer's decision to hire him, saved the program. It was one of the most important moments in the history of the University of Tennessee football program. We have to go to a break. We have 30 minutes remaining. We are back with much more right after this.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. 30 minutes to go and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Bradley is up next in College Station. Hello, Bradley.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We are well. Thank you.
So I was wondering, everyone at A&M kind of had this season circled as the year to a kind of take that step and maybe make a run for the championship. But now with the recent losses of Jamon Osmond opting out, we lost Derek Tucker and Elijah Blades to opting out, Blake Smith and Baylor Cup lost injury. What's the outlook for A&M this season? What does Jimbo, what kind of record does he need to get this season in order for him to show that A&M's taking that step to kind of move forward in the SEC?
Yeah, I thought initially this was going to be a really good year, but when we lost the entire schedule, I think it made things more complicated for Jimbo. The addition of the Florida game is probably where I would land as a difference maker. Compressed season, it's hard to know yet what what looks good, because we've never had a 10-game season, or at least not in in modern time. I just think he has to avoid, Bradley, a really bad season. I don't think that's going to end it for him by any stretch. I think there's going to be some forgiveness here, but momentum is important. Anyway, thank you for the call. We have our guest now coming to us from New York, where the second round of the U.S. Open is about to conclude, and there's a leaderboard, and then there's a Tiger board, and then there's Michael Collins. And Michael, I never thought I would live long enough to be holding my breath to find out whether Tiger Woods breaks 80 on the second round of the U.S. Open.
And the thing is, Phil Mickelson didn't. I mean, there's been an 86 put up there already, and there's been some big names like Sergio Garcia, who shot 81, Jordan Spieth, 81, and Jordan even admitted after the first round, when he only shot three over, that he was completely lost. So that first round of the U.S. Open, I just want to say to everyone after Thursday who go, we're complaining that the course was too easy and that, man, this ain't the U.S. Open. Well, guess what? It's the U.S. Open now. Sit back and enjoy the brutality.
What?
Patrick Reed and Bryson DeChambeau are playing together in the final group on Saturday. Ta-da!
Michael, what changed today?
The wind came out of a different direction. The fairways got a lot firmer, and so did the greens. So on Thursday, the golf course was softer. And even though most of the really big long holes played into the wind, in soft conditions, if there's zero wind whatsoever, there's nothing you can do to defend a golf course if it's somewhat soft for the best players in the world. Nothing. If they're finding the fairways and being able to fire it at flags, then it's game over. Well, 15 to 25 mile an hour winds, cooler temperatures, no humidity, and firm, fast fairways and greens with, rough that is going to be up to a foot deep. Guess what? These dudes are going to do what they did today, and that is struggle a lot and sometimes look really bad. So it's just the round one. The other thing about round one was, as this round two is not even over yet. And that's the thing. 144 guys. This tournament's normally played in June. Sunset in June is at 8:30. We're playing in September. Sunset there is now. Like, the sun is just gone behind the horizon. So they're playing without the sun being in the air. And like yesterday, they didn't even finish. So for the first round, the USGA couldn't be brutal. Or those guys would have never even been close to finishing the second round, where at least now, because it's Friday and the cut's coming today and it's only the top 60 in ties, well, if some people don't finish, we got plenty of time on Saturday because they're going to be playing in twosomes. So that was the other reason that the USGA couldn't go crazy on the golf course on Friday. And trust me, Saturday is not going to get easier.
So Tiger is not going to make the cut. He is going to break 80, though, which I guess if you had that bet, you will collect. Let me ask you what Justin Thomas struggled today, but he saved his round based on what I've been able to tell. What's it look like for the weekend?
It's setting up to be a very interesting weekend. Like, we got Patrick Reed right now at the top of the leaderboard at 4-under, Bryson DeChambeau at 3-under. There's only four more guys under par. Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Harris English, Justin Thomas, who still has a shot on 18, I think, to get in at 3-under, which would move him up. And then Jason Kokrak, who's in the clubhouse at 1-under. But there are some guys that are even and plus one, guys like John Rahm and Hideki Matsuyama and Xander Schauffele, who – you give them 2 days to figure this out, and guess what? They might just do that. They might just figure it out. And we just saw Jeff Ogilvie do a Zoom WebEx call from Australia. And he said one of the things, because he was the last one to win when the U.S. Right. Open was at Wingfoot, and he won it plus five. And he said the reason that he thinks he won was because Judy Rankin told him Saturday night, don't worry about Sunday. You will be surprised how high the winning score will be. And I think right now we got a bunch of young kids that have that kind of attitude going into the weekend, kind of like, you know what, we'll just figure it out and not that big of a deal. So with that kind of attitude, then this tournament is still wide, wide open.
And Justin Thomas missed his attempt at 18, so he will, let's see, he'll finish, what, two? Is that correct?
Yes, it means he shot plus three, 73 on the day.
Right.
And he's tied for third now at minus two.
Yeah, so I mean,
he got one minus four, one minus three, three at minus two, and one at minus one. To think Thursday we had 21 guys under par, and now we're finishing Friday's round with only six guys under par, and it's going to keep going in that. It's going to keep trending in that direction.
Well, Michael, it's great to hear from you. We often see you during the college football season. I don't know if that's going to happen this year, but I'm glad that you're covering this tournament, and come back soon. We always enjoy it.
Listen, I know you're going to be real busy with the college football season, but just don't forget the Masters is going to be played in November.
Oh, I forgot.
So maybe. Yeah, we can chat once. I'm happy that college football is going down. I'm a college football fan guy, too. I know you're big-time SEC. I'm Big Ten dude. And thank goodness they're coming back to play.
Michael, who is your school?
I'm a Penn State guy.
Oh, okay, well, then I was thinking about making fun of you more, but I can't make fun of Penn State. I got too many friends and colleagues who went there. So we'll let you off the hook there.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Thank you. That means a lot. We've been through enough. You know, as fans, we heard all the jokes already. But look, with the
Masters. So, by the way, Tiger did birdie two of the last three holes and shot 77. You ever thought you would hear words like that?
Well, at least he can say he beat Phil Mickelson, who finished at plus 13. So he beat Phil by two. So he's got that going for him. I say that.
That might matter. At their age, that might be a big deal. Hey, Michael, come back soon.
You got it, brother. Great talking to you.
Enjoy it. Michael Collins live from Wingfoot. We're up against a break. Coming back with not much more, but a few more minutes. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.